We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, he's a one-man wrecking machine.
Which is why he's an MVP candidate.
Oh, Harry, he is not.
Cam Newton for MVP. Anywhere from 11-5, 12-4, in my opinion, 13-3. He rushes probably for 500 yards. He could have an MVP-type season.
Dale Arnold.
I feel like this is a game where the Patriots get exposed.
What now?
And I don't think Derek Carr is some chump.
Rich Keefe.
And I take it the results speak for themselves so far, completing over 71% of your throws.
Yeah, but that's cute, but we want to win.
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
You bet on the Jets? What is wrong with you?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
This is how far we go as far as show prep is concerned. I just got off the phone seconds ago with Stacey James down at the Patriots because I wanted to make sure I knew how to say Zsolda Froholt, because I have a feeling he's going to be playing Sunday afternoon, and I didn't want to screw up his name if we talked about him today.
No David Andrews.
We're going to get some Froho Sunday?
Froho coming
in there.
By the way,
Stacey isn't saying that. That's me saying that. I just asked him how to say his name.
All right.
Zsolda Froholt.
But you just said Zsolda a second ago.
No, Zsolda.
Zsolda. The legend of Zsolda.
First four letters are silent in his name.
What was Zsolda
Froholt? We need to find out what Cam Newton's nickname is for him, and then we can just call him that because his name is just too much. Yeah,
there's just so much going on.
That's it.
Fitzy's back in the house. Hey, Fitzy.
What's up, Dale? How
are you feeling better about your Cam for MVP take before or after you heard Wiggy's full-throated endorsement of that take?
Where do you think he got it from in the first place?
He heard Fitzy.
I was the idiot out in front of that charge the other day. Mm-hmm. I'm not backing down from it. Now I've got Patriots insider Tom E. Curran, Super Bowl champion Jermaine E. Wiggins on my side. Okay. I'm building a bit of a coalition.
Curran did not say that.
No, he didn't. You're hijacking that.
He did not.
Completely said. Curran said there's more credence to you being crazy than to Cam being MVP.
No, he didn't. Go back. Listen to the tape.
I did listen to it.
He asked.
I can't find it. I know what it says.
Can't find it now. Oh, he remembered it now. You can't find it.
Vault-like memory.
How coincidental that is.
I think there's two different arguments, though. There is, can Cam Newton win the MVP?
Projecting forward. Yes, he could.
Is he the MVP after 2 weeks? No, he's not. No, he's not. There's too many guys.
He's not the best player in the AFC East after 2 weeks.
That's enough out of you, sir. That is enough. I respect my elders, but that is enough out of you, Uncle
Josh
Dale.
Josh Allen is having...
Listen, there are very few things I am certain of. The Patriots will play the Raiders on Sunday. Gale Sayers will not be joining us for dinner.
Cam Newton can indeed... Way too soon.
He's with John Fogarty now.
And by the way, after last night, I could make the case that Fitz chest hair is also having a hell of a year.
Dale, that's, I brought beers game for everyone here. I didn't know that you started drinking early.
I was joking about that one. I just wanted to work in Fitz chest hair because, God, he's got a forest going there.
He is hirsute.
He's a hairy man.
He is a hairy man.
Some people are into that.
Dale, we were doing in the middle of the on-location.
Shime, you want to chip in here?
I'm hairier than Shime is. I'm as hairy.
Oh, it's a hair off. We're going to have an old-fashioned hair off coming up at the first
break.
We're
not including our heads. I'll be good.
Dale, I was telling the boys in the middle of the on-location show prep this morning that I believe last night was not just a battle of facial hair, but rather a passing of the torch from one possibly career backup to another. You know what I mean? Like, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick has played for
every team
in the NFL
except the Patriots.
Gardner Minshew is not good enough to be a starting quarterback of his own team for a long time, but eventually when you need someone to come in for a year, a la Fitzmagic.
I love
Case
it.
Keenum.
He's going to play Tyrod forever Taylor. For every team.
He will
I love
feed
it.
Forever. And what's who doesn't want to live a life where you have some, if not tens of millions of dollars in the bank because you were the guy who came in before the other guy who was yeah. your franchise savior?
I think he's going to have a great career doing that. I'm looking forward to the Gardner Minshew plays for every team.
Now, one experience. May ask, like, now how come Mutt, who is the equivalent of Gardner Minshew here at the radio station,
right.
holds down your place before Greg Hill comes in, et cetera? How come Mutt is not a millionaire? That's a show for a different day.
It's a question we've asked for years.
It's been on the top of our thought process mm-hmm. for all these. So let's get back to the whole AFC East thing here, because, I mean, you would have to admit, wouldn't you, my friend Fitzy,
mm-hmm.
that through two games, mm-hmm. Josh Allen has had a better two-game stretch than your MVP-caliber quarterback here?
Why do I have to admit that?
You don't have
facts.
To do anything.
Yes. Well, facts would help.
Okay, the stats show that Josh Allen has been every bit as good, if not maybe even a little bit better. What I'm saying is that Cam Newton can indeed be an MVP candidate. I still think
he was the MVP through two games.
I said he is the second best player in the NFL. I said Russell Wilson.
You started out as the MVP. We talked you into second place.
No, I said Russell Wilson. Go back and check the tape, John.
Oh, here we go again.
All right.
John's got a lot of tape to go through.
He's got a lot. John's dealing with all of his, Vegas rejoins today, Dale. He's so pumped and jacked.
Today's my Super Bowl. I have been waiting for this day for
so
years.
Distracted.
Friday, September 25th, 2 days before Pats Raiders be your Super Bowl, says so much about you, John. And I love you. But I knew that's exactly I was here for all. Okay, I appreciate you. Okay. But Dale, right now you can easily make a case for Cam Newton comeback player of the year. Like,
sure.
You hadn't even
mentioned that until this very moment,
no,
but sure. I'm just saying I
sort of overlooked it in my zeal to talk about how great Cam Newton has been.
You went to the most prestigious award
right away. I most certainly did.
Yeah.
But I do believe that if he continues to play at this pace, if he ends up with 12, 15 rushing touchdowns, 20-something passing touchdowns, and a combined 5,000 yards of offense through the air and on his legs, or via his legs, then this will make him an MVP. He will then be mentioned in the company of Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson as an MVP candidate.
Well, I heard Rich talking about this with Wiggy. We played a snippet of it in the open, but I really do want to hear Wiggy's take on Cam for MVP, because my experience is Wiggy starts out with the white-hot sports take, and by the time he finishes the paragraph, he's turned into Mr. Wishy-Washy.
I think Fitzy said this maybe a couple days ago, and I'm starting to jump on this train. Cam Newton for MVP. I could see him throwing anywhere from 26 to 28 touchdowns. He'll rush for another 10-plus. He'll have over 3,100 yards.
Uh-huh.
This team will be a team that is, anywhere from 11-5, 12-4, in my opinion, 13-3. He rushes probably for 500 yards. He could have an MVP-type season.
13-3? How are they winning 13 games now?
11 is the ceiling for this team.
That means they're only going to lose two more, Rich, the rest of the way.
And they got a good, tough schedule in front of them.
They do, but they may not play They play two other teams that have offenses as capable as the way Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, is playing right now.
Yeah, that's true.
You would definitely argue that Kansas City and the Ravens are the best offenses. But other games
this
that people
this
had
Sunday's not bad.
But I got to tell you.
The Cardinals are pretty good, too.
I'll tell you, other teams, I'd fear the Cardinals before I fear like the Niners.
Big time. Cardinals offense is great. The Raiders, if they're missing a couple of guys, their offense could be atrocious. Their two
Sunday?
Best players are hurt.
Are banged up.
Yeah.
You're also going to get the Chiefs right after they play Baltimore, which means if they beat Baltimore, it's a trap game for the Chiefs, which is great. Short week.
Wow. Short week for them.
Never enter a battle without a shine.
Ooh, I like that. Oh, by the way, I wanted to get this off my chest before I forget.
Yes.
The shine could come off the Buffalo Bills. I'm predicting 3 straight losses for the Buffalo Bills. They have the Rams.
Go ahead.
Raiders. No. I'm sorry.
The
4
Rams.
Straight losses.
Oh.
Rams, Raiders, Titans, Chiefs. They're going to be 2-4.
They're going to be
2-4.
Josh Allen has 5 interceptions.
Yep. Guys, you know what time it is? It's 11:54 because I just went 6 to midnight.
Oh,
wow.
I need
2-4. The shine is going to come way off the Bills. And then the Patriots at that point, they'll probably drop to the Chiefs probably somewhere in there. But then they'll regain control of the AFC East in just 1 month span here.
How do you like that?
Mm.
Are those apples you got?
I like them. They are.
It is certainly fair to say that they have a spate of quality quarterbacks that they've got to face here coming up. Because that list you just talked about.
Yeah.
forget about what Josh Allen's going to do. What's the Buffalo defense going to do against those guys?
Oh, yeah. Solid SAT word, by the way, spate.
Spate.
Appreciate that.
Excellent. Wow. Yes. Yeah, Dale busting out the big words on the first
It's a very short word, but it has a big meaning. So.
But I'll tell you, the Raiders this week, the Raiders are a good team. Right? I don't think they're a great team by any means, but they're a good team. But Richie Incognito just went on IR. Mm-hmm. Trent Brown is hurt. Josh Jacobs is hurt, and Darren Waller
Trent
is hurt.
Did Trent practice yesterday? Because he hadn't earlier in the week. No. He hadn't practiced before yesterday.
All of those guys have missed back-to-back days, so we'll see what happens today. And I don't know. Some coaches are different. Some coaches is like, hey, as long as you're there Friday for the walkthrough, like, you can play. Others, if you miss Wednesday, Thursday, like, you're kind of leaning towards not playing. Yeah. So we'll see, because those are their best players.
Quick food for thought on that. It could be load management in that, coming off a Monday night game, you're a little dinged up.
Okay.
Hold them out Wednesday, Thursday, make them practice Friday because it's obviously a big game. They're the ones that have to fly across the country. Vegas is basically, it's half an hour shorter of L.A. Boston, so it's a long-ass flight. I would say this. If someone said to me, okay, here's what I got. David Andrews is probably not going to play, but I can offer you Trent Brown not playing, I would almost take that because Y'all Deferrohole is probably a serviceable backup at center, although it's tough to play center in an offense like this that's moving around so much. Trent Brown is a mountain of humanity.
He is huge.
And that's a plus for somebody like Winovich, who had a pretty good game last week, can get a backup right tackle. Maybe we'll start to see the Patriots generate some pressure this week, Dale, which I think if you got Waller and Jacobs a little bit dinged up, could tilt the table in their favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pass rush was a concern for me because outside of Winovich, you're not seeing a lot of it.
Right.
They had Kyle Duggar on the safety blitz where he almost got there, didn't quite. But that's the one where he threw the offensive lineman like 8 yards in his rearview mirror.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It was great. But they're not getting a lot of rush. I mean, they're hitting guys after they get rid of the ball. They hit Russell Wilson like 4 times after he got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to move that up just a touch.
I would say his pocket presence and awareness, Russell Wilson's, is probably second to none. You know, whereas I think
Certainly better than Derek Carr.
Yeah, and Derek Carr's not a bum, but I also think like it's just completely different. Like Russell Wilson, there's really no good way to defend him because he can hit throws on the run. If you make him, you know, stay in the pocket, he can also make those throws. He can scramble out and pick up first downs for you. So Derek Carr's a little bit more limited than that.
I mean, when you go, like, all of the super nerdery that comes in the next-gen stats, like they said, the pass to David Moore, which, if you watch it again, is just a cartoonish throw.
Oh,
had a 6% chance of being completed.
Should not have been complete.
Off his back foot with someone in his face over Jason McCourty at the corner of the end zone, and he has to kick the pylon and land his foot in the corner of the end. Like, it just doesn't, it doesn't happen. It's like one of those videos where you watch somebody build during the pandemic, all those Rube Goldberg machines people built just because they had nothing better to do.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's exact same thing.
Exact same thing.
We got a lot of stuff we're going to get to throughout the course of the day. Devin McCourty will join us this morning. I'm not going to pin down a time because they haven't yet pinned down a time, but he will join us. It's Patriots Friday. He will join us. We will pin down Kiefer Madness Week in Review. That's going to happen at 12:30. We will pin down Michael Irvin, the playmaker, who will join us at 1 o'clock today. And Fitzy's made his way back into the garage. We'll find out later on today at about 1:30 if he gets to move back into the house as he bets Shime's free money Friday picks. So
can't wait. Can't wait. I had a chance to catch up with Shime earlier, and I know that he's seeing the board pretty well for week 3.
The vision is clear.
Just as an early lean here, he said he's got a lot of picks. He actually had to, because he's only making 4 picks. He had even more than that, but he had to limit it to the 4. So it's his 4 best picks. He's going to give us at 1:30.
Call me Davey Eyeballs. I'm seeing 2010 here.
That's coming up throughout the course of the program as well. We'll get to your calls as we start talking about the Patriots and the Las Vegas Raiders. By the way, the over-under on the number of times I say Oakland Raiders today is 3.
Yeah,
the over.
It's fine.
Just saying.
We know who you're talking about.
It's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but it will happen.
Dale, will you be starting Mark Wilson on your fantasy team this
probably
weekend?
Probably not, no. Probably not going to do that. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. But Snake Stabler is ready to go, however, in my...
Get him out there.
Get him right out there. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith. Fitzy's in the house with us, and it's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keith with Fitzy on WEEI.
This is just like John's favorite day ever in the history of this program.
So I'm not a huge music guy. My music knowledge is limited.
Vegas is where it's at.
All right, give me like a quick top five Vegas bands.
There's a big four.
Give me the four then. Okay.
It is The Killers, Imagine Dragons, Panic at the Disco, and Neon Trees.
Okay, so all like relatively new groups.
Yep, last 20 years.
Now, Imagine Dragons just make songs for stadiums now.
That's all they do.
They're like, here's a stadium anthem.
And my kids can now look over his shoulder, I now
get to see John as he's talking to you.
Yep.
And while he's telling you there's now four Vegas bands, the top four.
Yeah.
He's ticking through them. And he put five fingers up. He couldn't help it.
In my head, I was like, should I say Elvis or does he suck?
Nobody said John could count either, Dale.
Well, no, that's true. That's not what he's here for.
You better also, like, there should be some Elvis. And if we're not playing Elvis.
You have to.
How do you not play Wayne Newton?
That's a waste of a song.
No, it's not.
Now, Britney had a residency there. Does she count?
Lady Gaga does, too.
Definitely. You probably have to blink. Santana is a Raiders fan.
Yeah, we learned that this week on Karaoke Tuesday.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you missed it.
You don't say, Shime. You singing Santana.
I couldn't keep my composure.
It wasn't his
strongest. Made me laugh, and then I just fell apart.
It was not good. It was not good.
It was a lot of things.
No, Definitely one of my weakest.
It was topical for sure, but it didn't. It did not.
Years and years ago, when I was working at the Cumberland County Civic Center in Portland, Wayne Newton was on tour, and he's playing in Portland, Maine. And I'm working late one night. I was working for the hockey team, and I'm working late, and Newton's out doing his thing, and I'm in the office, and I hear him saying, I'm going to be here all night. I love you people. They told me, the guys who worked in the building said he was in the limo and out of the building before the fans stood to rise for the standing ovation after he had told him he'd be there all night. He was taillights.
Smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
Smart guy.
He's a pro.
Like, oh, I must have just missed him. Like, yeah, you just missed him. All right.
He couldn't have gotten out of the building quick enough, So I always just assume he's a phony, baloney Vegas guy like John's four bands that he listed. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Patriot Safety Devin McCourty. Our conversation with Devin is brought to you by Town Fair Tire, McFarland Energy. Check out McFarland's new customer oil delivery special at McFarlandEnergy.com. And by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs fast. Visit Zooty.com for details. Good morning, Devin. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Sometimes your coach has a tendency to, you know, build up the opposition, as good coaches will do. But when he was talking about Darren Waller this week and saying there might not be a better tight end in the National Football League, it's hard for me to argue with him on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I would say for anybody who follows football, if you turn on the film, I mean, the guy's big, he's fast. They throw him the ball a lot. They put him in different positions in their offense. Very tough to cover. He's running away from corners and safeties. So, you know, I definitely would agree on that. And I don't think it matters. You know, I think for anybody, once you see him play, you realize, and I think even last year, you know, we didn't play the Raiders at all, and I knew who Darren Waller was. So he's not catching anybody off guard. He's a great player and very productive, especially for them in their offense.
Now, going back a few years before he got hurt, Derek Carr was maybe looking like the MVP of the league, and it's been a couple of, you know, decent seasons since then, but he's off to a good start. The team's off to a good start, but what makes Derek Carr tough?
He's just playing really good football. You know, I think we haven't played him. I think we played him his rookie year. So, you know, all of the talk of what he hasn't done and what he has done really hasn't come up for us at all because we haven't seen that, haven't been a part of it. But you turn on these first two games of him throwing the ball all around the field and putting him in good positions. You see him make different checks at the line, you know, because of what the defense is in. So, he's doing a lot of things really well. I think one of the biggest things is they're 2-0. They're off to a winning start. So we got to be prepared for him and obviously not a scrambler as much as like Russell Wilson was last week. But you see him on film, too, when he does have to tuck the ball. He can move. He can run a little bit. So we'll just have to be aware and ready for, you know, everything he brings to their offense.
Devin, we were all caught off guard, surprised, shaken, and heartbroken when we heard the news last Sunday of the accident that James White's parents had been in and the passing of his father. And I think we were all touched and stirred after you paid tribute to him following your pick six against Seattle. Have you had a chance to... Just curious if you've had a chance to speak with him. Do you know, I think a lot of people would just like to know how's he doing, not to share secrets that, but is he okay? Have you had a chance to communicate with him, and how's everyone?
Yeah, I mean, we're all just trying to support him, man. I think sometimes when we play football as national football players, It's a thought of, you know, I think for us, sometimes we're invincible. I think when people watch us, sometimes there's this like non-human element. But I think, you know, whenever you go through a tragedy like that, you know, I think he's just mourning. You know, he's grieving. You know, we've all just been praying for him, trying to, you know, just support him any way we can.
We're talking with New England Patriots cornerback Devin McCourty. There's been a lot of talk here over the years about young receivers and how hard it is to learn the game at this level, at that position. The Raiders have got two of them. They've got Henry Ruggs. They've got Bryan Edwards. What are you seeing from these two rookie wide receivers?
I would say, obviously, with Ruggs, the first thing that jumps off the screen is the speed. Speed and quickness, I would say. He's a guy that plays inside and outside in their offense. So, you know, obviously he's picking up the schemes and the different things they're asking him to do really well. When you can have that type of versatility, and I think one of the biggest things you see is they're not afraid to take a shot to him in really any moment. You watch that Saints game down the stretch, you know, it wasn't a catch, but it was a key pass interference really that changed the end of that game. And I think with Edwards, he's a guy that's really filling their spot outside and really being, I would call, like a very dependent guy for them to throw the ball to in, you know, tough situations, making contested catches. He's a bigger, stronger guy, so I think he does a good job of using his body and being able to come up with some of those tough plays. And you can see Carr going to him more, obviously, with Waller being the number one option. But I would say with the rest of those guys, you throw Renfrow in there too, and with Zay Jones and Aguilar coming in, they have a lot of guys that you have to prepare for. They all play. They'll all be out there. So we have to really be ready for, you know, any combination of guys.
Now, you guys have a pretty experienced group in the secondary, but one of the young guys is Kyle Duggar, who got he had significant more snaps in week two than he did in week one. But what have you seen out of him going all the way back from, you know, your first practice to now getting set for your game week three?
He's just getting better. I mean, that's what it is in this league, being a rookie. You know, no matter how many snaps you play, you got to get better off all of them. So I think that's what Doug's been trying to do. That's what he's done. And obviously you guys watch the Seattle game. When he gets in there, he's doing some things really well. He plays very physical last week, running downhill and hitting a guard and then coming up and getting a part of a sack. So I think the more reps he gets, the better he plays. So it's good to see him out there. And, you know, it's just a part of the process, I think, of being a rookie. We were all there, and it's a huge learning curve coming from college and trying to be consistent in the pros.
Devin, a lot was made last Sunday night following that last-second defeat that there was obviously a lot to learn from, and that it was a bit of an emotional win. But Cam, when he appeared on the station earlier this week and spoke yesterday, said, you know, the only stat that matters is the W. Do you subscribe to the idea that it can still be an emotional win, even though it was technically a loss? And how do you guys approach the next game coming off such a heartbreaker and a hard-fought game?
Oh, yeah, it definitely is just a loss. But I would say in a season, like, you can't just lose and you can't just win. You got to learn and you got to get better, especially in September. You know, you got to get better with all of these games, you know. And we've always talked about, you know, your first four games of having, you know, really your biggest improvements of the year from game to game in these first four, and really kind of building your foundation for the season. So it's a loss in the column. You know, there's no kind of moral victory of any sort. But I do think from there, the things we didn't do well, we gotta do well. We gotta fix that. We can't, you know, allow those things to be a problem all throughout the year. So I would say, you know, I agree with Cam 100%. Like, we won't walk away with any type of W from last Sunday.
All right, did somebody break into Bill Belichick's locker and steal all his workout clothes? Because, man, he showed up a couple of days ago in a sweatshirt that looked like he'd been wrestling the Kraken and lost. Today he's wearing a Patriots zip-up. The logo was ripped off it. Can we get the guy some new workout clothes here?
Man, yeah, I got to ask him about that. you know, he does interviews almost every day. You got to ask him about the wardrobe and see how you guys can help.
Devin, one thing that Cam also said earlier this week during his radio appearance on Tuesday, he was asked if he wanted any new receivers, any new offensive additions, if the Patriots should make a trade. And he said that all the answers were in that locker room right there, that he didn't need anything else. Some people have said, you know, it'd be nice to see maybe if the Pats should trade, get some more defensive line help, get some more linebackers, because you guys had to deal with free agency and opt-outs and everything. So just curious if you feel like all the answers are in the locker room for your defense now.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I've always felt. I've never played in a season and felt like we need to go get this guy or that guy. You know, just recently in 2018, I mean, we went on two times losing two games in a row, and I'm sure a lot of people were writing about how we needed to do this and get this guy and that guy, and we ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. So you just got to get better. You got to figure it out. You know, it's very rare that all the answers for any team is walking on the street right now or playing for another team. So, you know, I think as a player, I never worry about that. And there's times we do trade guys who have a huge difference, like when we traded for Aqib Talib or LeGarrette Blount. Like, those guys can have a huge difference. But I think for the most part, the guys that's always in your locker room will be the guys that figure out how to go out there and win ball games.
Devin, we always appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it, man.
Take care.
Devin. Thanks, Devin.
Patriots cornerback Devin McCourty. By the way, this week's Verizon matchup features, as you heard Devin talking about, Patriots defense trying to stop tight end Darren Waller. Verizon, best network, best unlimited. Much easier said than done. I mean, this guy is a load. He's got 18 catches in the first two games.
Yeah, he's been great. And I think Bill went a little overboard, but he usually does that with a good player on a good team or even a bad team. Just any kind of good player he'll single out. I think George Kittle's the best tight end in the league, but Darren Waller is really, really good.
He's super, super, super good. And I would say there may be no better young RBTE combo than the Josh Jacobs Darren Waller combination. That's about as good as, because as great as Kittle is, I don't think there's a running back in San Francisco that's on Josh Jacobs level. This kid has a chance to be something really special. But if they're both dinged up, that could play in the Patriots' favor. But D-Mac did kind of get me thinking, their receivers aren't bad. Like, Renfro, pretty good in the slot. Ruggs, super speedy. Somehow Aguilar left Philly and found hands.
Yeah. Which was, their receivers are bad. Well,
Zay Jones, you know, they're a bunch.
No, their receivers are bad. Henry Ruggs could be good. I don't know if he's just a deep threat or if he's going to develop into more of that. They drafted him very high.
100% so he could be their new.
Yeah.
Their new
Darius Hayward Bay.
Exactly. You know what I'm talking about. In Kansas City guy.
Tyreek Hill.
They want him to be, Hill, yeah. They were looking for like a Tyreek Hill.
Yeah,
like
they want a burner. They got
stretcher.
A burner, but the jury's out on whether he's like a good wide receiver.
Absolutely. They're okay, but if those guys are in any way, shape, or form compromised, advantage Patriots.
Big time.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Kiefer Madness Week in Review at 12:30. We've got the playmaker Michael Irvin at 1. We've got Free Money Friday coming up at 1:30. We'll get to the calls with you as we talk Patriots and Raiders on a Patriots Friday. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We was catching him, unlike Aguilar.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
I feel like this is a game where the Patriots get exposed. They have the one thing that I would say is probably going to be their nemesis all year, which is a big physical running back who could also catch the football out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to go deep. Check downs, quick throws, West Coast offense. We're not taking shots. We're finding voids. We're finding the sweet spot. That's the way they're going to do it.
Right.
And I don't think Derek Carr is some chump.
That was Christian Fourier yesterday on OMF. And I'll say this, I don't think it's goofy to suggest that the Las Vegas Raiders are going to win this game Sunday. They're a good football team. They come in at 2-0. To suggest that they're going to win is not outside the realm of possibility here. They very well might win this thing.
Well, really, outside of the Jets, every week with the Patriots, it's not crazy to pick the other team. It's just not. I mean, every game is going to be a dogfight. Like, I don't think the Patriots really blow anybody out with the exception of the Jets. And the Raiders are right there. They're 2-0. But I think the biggest wild card in all of this is the health of all of their best players. Because Trent Brown, as we know, is a monster, but he's mispracticed. Josh Jacobs is a great running back. And then going from him to their backups, what are they still like Jalen
Richard?
Rashard. Like, come on. And Darren Waller. Like, Darren Waller is a one-man wrecking crew, but if he's hurt, or obviously if he doesn't play, like, they are a completely different team. So that's going to be a huge factor.
Isn't there a lot also given to the idea that Now, if someone's talent is so great that no matter what you do or how you game plan for them, you can't stop them, then, you know, you tip your hat to that guy and just say sometimes, you know, Tyler Harrow's going to shoot, you know, like lights out.
But Russell Wilson, there's really only so much you could do to Russell Wilson.
They knew Russell Wilson was going to probably be the game plan. They did the best they could. He still threw five touchdowns. Like, if Darren Waller, if they decide to put Jawan Williams and somebody else, or, like, if they double him all day and the guy still makes catches, the hell are you supposed to do?
Would you put Duggar on him? Would you try that, or is that way too much?
I would. No, that's what I would do.
I'd try
it. Who's the tight end? Yeah. Adam Trautman, the kid that a lot of people wanted the Pats to pick, either went in the fourth or fifth round this year. He was in the Senior Bowl, and Duggar was on him and just blanketed him, just ate him up all day long.
I'll try it.
Now that's an NFL caliber tight end.
There's a big difference there.
I was going to say, though, there is a major difference. I don't think I want to shake Duggar's confidence so much by putting Waller on him all day.
Isn't the flip side true? If he has a couple of nice plays against him and covers him pretty well, now isn't his confidence to the roof?
Okay, maybe a couple plays, but I don't put him on
all day.
Well, I don't
think, you probably don't put anybody on him.
Yeah, they never do that with anybody.
I mean, unless it's like Gilmore on a certain receiver, I don't think you would. And by the way, I don't want Gilmore on Waller.
Nope.
I don't want that at all.
He's got a huge height advantage.
He's just so much bigger, and we've seen the big receivers give Gilmore all kinds of fits. So that seems like a waste. And I'd put Gilmore on somebody else. But I think either Jawan Williams or Kyle Duggar probably makes the most sense. I mean, maybe Adrian Phillips gets a crack at it, but he's much smaller than Waller is. But as far as, you know, keep up with him speed wise.
Now, if you lock him up, Dale, if you make sure, like Waller, let's say you force him into four catches for 43 yards. Okay.
Huge win.
That's a huge win. Do you take your chances? Yeah, you just say, like, okay, I will take my chances making this a wide receiver-centric game, or you're going to have to beat us with a compromised Jacobs, Jalen Richard, Zay Jones, and Ruggs. You feel better about that?
Well, Ruggs obviously can run by anybody you got, and you know that whole nothing cheap and nothing deep mantra would apply here. But, yeah, if you do hold Waller to four catches, 43 yards, I'll take my chances at that point. I mean, I think that in the quarterback matchup, you've got the advantage. I think in the head coaching matchup, you've got the advantage. And if I always start with a quarterback-coach combination, and I think the Patriots are better in both those departments, obviously I think not only, spoiler alert here, I think the Patriots are going to win Sunday, but I always start there. And everything else sort of falls into place after that.
The Patriots, you know, again, there's definitely examples that would work against this, but I feel like when a team has one really good weapon, they do a pretty good job of taking that guy out. Like DeAndre Hopkins, to me, is the greatest receiver in the league right now because Antonio Brown's not playing. Go back to some of those games that the Patriots have played the Texans and DeAndre Hopkins. He never killed him because they would devote all their attention. Like, all right, somebody else has to do it. Now, if both are healthy, both Waller and Jacobs are both good, so it's hard to say, hey, we're taking both these guys out and committing all to that. But I feel like if you put all the resources into Waller and now force a big Zay Jones Ruggs Aguilar game, like, you're definitely going to win.
And I feel like you could see Duggar get involved in that run-stopping game.
He could do that, too. Jones. Yeah. He played, I think it was 11 defensive snaps week one and then 34 in week two. So I can only imagine, like, that number is going to continue to go up.
And Shime, we're hours away from you helping everyone win free money and us deciding to go into the black this season. I'll give you a little prop right here. Kyle Duggar sacks Sunday. 0.5 over under, Rich.
Under.
I'm going over.
I'm going over, too.
You think Kyle Duggar gets a sack?
Yes, I do.
I think after playing the Seahawks this week, Belichick is going to take a little bit of what they do with Jamal Adams and do that with Kyle Duggar.
Did you see Kyle Duggar blow up a 237-pound offensive lineman?
You mean a 337?
337 is a little light.
It's like me playing lineman.
No, Chase Winovich blew up 230-pound Carlos Hyde and made him go sit in the corner and think about it.
So Raiders with Incognito out?
Mm-hmm.
Duggar's coming right up the gut.
And maybe Trent Brown.
You know what? You're talking me into it. What's the line on that?
It covers zero.
What is that? A minus 120? What are we looking
at? Probably minus a 110. I can look it up for
you. Give it a look.
You know, it's an hour early, but a couple of high noon hot takes from the fellas on the other side of the glass already, just to sort of wet your whistle here. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Kiefer Madness Week in Review at 12:30. Michael Irvin, the newly minted grandfather, joins us at 1 o'clock. And Shime will give away that free money on Friday coming up at 1:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy. We'll talk about the relationship between Cam Newton and his coaches, and not the coach that you think I'm going to say. And we'll also talk about what stats mean to Cam coming up next. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.